McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My appreciation for Charter Schools USA's attorney Ed Pozzuoli, for Senior Chancellor Adam Miller, and head of Charter Schools for DOE Adam Emerson for working together to try to close the gap. But there were some areas that at the end of the day, the gap was not closed.
So this is not a good start. You had the 2.5 meeting that did nothing on Friday, and then you had the 1.5 meeting yesterday that is not inaccurately being reported, I mean, by us, you know, and everybody else, as if, you know, we've done a deal. We haven't done a deal, and I'll tell you why, for Warrington Middle School. Because listen to this comment, one of the early comments yesterday by the school district attorney, Ellen Odom.
I will say that I think Charter Schools USA will likely not agree with these things, but we are here at the 11th hour. We have been directed to execute an agreement, and this is the agreement, as I understand it, that the superintendent has recommended.
So this meeting began with an announcement that, all right, today we're going to agree, or you all are going to have the choice to agree, to a series of modifications to their proposal, and this is what the superintendent wants to do, but I actually don't think that Charter Schools USA will agree to this. So, we're going to do it, and they're going to say no, and so it doesn't matter what we do, because this is the end of the line. The school's going to get shut down. She's not saying that. I'm saying that's the alternative, and since it was yesterday at 11:59 was the deadline, p.m., and although they were doing this at about 1:30, I guess, yesterday was when they were finally making their decisions, she's letting them know in advance, look, Charter Schools USA hasn't agreed to all of this. Some of the stuff they agreed to, okay, transportation was a non-issue. We solved that. They are committed to the school zone. We solved that. There are things in this that the school board didn't like, as in if the school is failing, you know, the state might say that the school is doing okay, and we might say that it's failing. Well, it's up to the state, not up to us. That's a, you know, fine, whatever. Ellen Odom was very frustrated that, you know, they wanted the ability to require the Department of Education to sign off on the power of the school board to close the Warrington Middle School if there are, you know, school safety issues. Because that's one of these provisions of charter schools, is if the school board determines that there are safety issues to the children, you can shut the school down immediately. They wanted that power to be, like, there wanted to be a second check on that to go to the Department of Education. She was frustrated about that, but so be it, okay? So, you know, there was a lot of stuff that got resolved, including maybe the administrative fee. There's a law in the state of Florida that requires a certain level of administrative fee for the oversight of a charter school to be retained from the funding that goes to that school. Maximum is 5%, but it depends on the number of kids in the school and the type of the school and whether they're high performing or not. And they had wanted that to be zero. The school board had set maximum is 5, and they had settled on a graduated scheme that was like, I think it was 2 the first year, 2 the second year percent, 3%, and then 4%. And so that's one of the things that I think that probably was not the sticking point. They're going with a 30-year lease, which nobody on the school board wanted. Even the facilities director, Mr. Dennis, he said, I've never not negotiated a lease ever in the time that I've been doing this, and this is the first one. I'm not particularly comfortable with all of this, although he said most of his concerns were kind of alleviated by some of the negotiations, so that's probably not a deal breaker. They solved, by the way, the big sticking point, the whole issue of, you know, would they be able to build and then the school board would be on the hook, that's been taken out. But there are things in there that they just, you know, haven't agreed to yet. And the things that they haven't agreed to yet are things that, you know, we don't know whether they will. So they come down to the end where they're going to, you know, pick. And there are basically two items that they had to vote on. One was the functionality agreement, the performance agreement. You know, what are they going to do? And then the other one was the lease agreement for what to do with the buildings. These were two separate votes. And you basically, David Williams, District 3, he said, I just can't accept this deal. I'd rather close the school.
I'm going to have a hard time voting for this agreement. There's too many ifs, ands, or buts about it. I would rather we close it and start a magnet school, a K through 8, in a year or two.
I'd rather close it and start a magnet school in a year or two instead of this. And even Kevin Adams said, yeah, I know, I kind of, you know, I kind of agree with that in philosophy. And after all, we don't even know whether Charter Schools USA is going to accept this deal.
Yeah, I actually agree with a lot of what David had to say. I don't know if Charter USA is even going to take this, what we got here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody even knows. This is sort of a, well, I hope the teacher gives us partial credit because, you know, it was due at midnight. We had to turn something in. That's kind of the way this feels to me. I mean, I know, listen, this is not a knock against Ellen Odom, who has worked her tail off to get this done, but the get it done is not a done. So we're waiting for approval from Charter Schools USA and for approval from the Department of Education to see if this is actually going to be acceptable and if we're actually going to go forward with it. And the vote basically was 3-2 on the performance agreement. You had Kevin Adams and Paul Fetsko and David Williams voting no on that. Remember Paul Fetsko, who said at the state meeting, we're willing to work with him. We're willing to work with him. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And then in the local meeting, he was like, I don't want to work with him. I don't trust him. I don't believe in him. And I'm like, well, which Paul Fetsko is it going to be? He didn't talk much yesterday. He didn't say much. He let everybody else talk. And then he voted no on this. But it did pass 3-2. So, you know, Bill Slayton, Patty Hightower, and Kevin Adams voted for it. So this did pass. Then they talked about the lease. That had been, we thought, the big sticking point. And that passed 4-1 with David Williams voting against it. So they did send it off with, I would say, at best, a coin flip optimism. It really is a crapshoot whether they're going to approve this or not. So that's where we stand. We don't know. It could be that we have Warrington Middle School run by Charter Schools USA in the fall. It could be that the school gets shuttered and those kids get shuffled off to Bailey to the West. And I always want to forget the name of the my kid actually went there for some stuff for really good things. But the other not Ferry Pass, but the one right by Escambia, Workman. I don't know why. I have the worst time remembering. I drive past that school all the time, but I just have the worst time remembering its name. Anyway, they're going to basically go to Workman or to Bailey, the 500 or so kids that are at Warrington Middle School right now. So we'll see, or we're going to be there next year. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Cooking Class, Mother's Day, Father's Day, the Fish House Beer Fest, and other fun things and promotions you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out and bring a blanket or a lawn chair, just no pets or glass, and relax and enjoy the sunset with great live music. This week, Nashville recording artist Jesse Ritter takes the stage with her heartfelt brand of country. With a breezy romantic feel and plenty of charm, this Gulf Breeze native will make you hometown proud. Be sure to come early and shop the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
If there is a hell, you might want to go there for some R&R after a tour on Pandora.
Good morning, 522, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy Tuesday. Good to see you. I don't know why my voice cracked right there. I think I'm still stuck in 13-year-old looking for a halfway credit on the test voice that I used for the school board decision a minute ago.
Peter Brady, take my hand.
Here, can you pop this pimple for me? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our head. This is such a side note.
I would love
to
do that, sorry.
You know,
Never mind.
My wife will sometimes, you know, she'll like offer, hey, do you want me, you know, you get one somewhere you can't really get or whatever. And I'm like, no, don't touch me. You're a torture artist with this. Like, I felt like I had to warn the boys, you know, they'd get old enough and they'd start having whatever. And she'd be like, I'll take care of it. I'm like, don't let her. You'll regret it. Everybody's got their things.
I work
I'm just
with a
saying.
Bunch of bachelors, like always. So of course, not now because everybody's married and happy.
Right,
but like
exactly.
In my younger days, I was always like,
you
"Hey, you
one?
Got something on the back? You know, let me shave your neck. Let me Q-tip your ears." You know, with all my bachelor workers that are, you know, gross.
Yeah.
No, but you can tell the ones that are cared for.
The ones that have had their nits removed, you know, from their hair and their
yes, before they come in. God bless y'all.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, David. You see the joys of marriage you get to look forward to one day?
One day.
Or
one
your
day.
Work, Mom. But you'll notice I don't do that to you because I got in trouble here.
Tell us about the news, David.
Absolutely. Former President Trump set to appear on a CNN presidential town hall next week in New Hampshire. The network made that announcement this week, saying anchor Caitlin Collins will be moderating the event. Trump will be taking questions from local Republicans and undeclared voters ahead of the GOP primary. Hollywood writers calling a strike. That means production of some shows like late night talk shows could stop this week. The Writers Guild of America tweeted Monday that the board of directors voted unanimously to call the strike effective as of today. And nearly a third of all nurses in the U.S. reportedly are considering quitting their jobs. That's according to a new survey of more than 18,000 nurses. It revealed that 30% of nurses are looking to leave the profession after the pandemic left them overwhelmed and burnt out.
Please
don't quit.
Yeah, exactly. You can exactly understand why. Please don't. I mean, you 100%. And oh no, what will we do without the late night shows? How will I ever go on? Somebody catch me as I faint. look, I want people to get paid what they're due, but this, you know, there's so much TV. Honestly, I said this before and I'll say it again. In all sincerity, if we went without TV creation for like I don't know, 6 months, to me they'd be like, oh, that's the break I needed to get caught up. That's where I'm at. David Wynn, thanks so much for the update. But you remember what happened last time?
I do. I'm just thinking, like, you're the only one that looks at it. Like,
I know, because I don't keep up on anything.
God.
I'm so behind. Ah, oh. You know, it's like, stop shoving all this good food at me. I can only eat so much at a time. Just wait and let me eat the leftovers. But the, the last time this happened, the issue was not that we missed out on the stuff right then. The issue was, well, once I got back to work, there was still a lag, you know? And yeah. So there was a, you remember during, there was a time when it was like, where's the, I can only watch a rerun of Gilligan's Island so many times, you know, like before you get bored of it all. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Oh, this, I find myself overly angry about this dog attack story, and I don't know whether I'm wrong or whether our system is wrong, but yesterday you had a press conference by the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Chip Simmons, of course, coming up and explaining, you know, that this woman has been arrested because three dogs that she owned on her property that also had the property that was this man lived on, at least it was on his property, his property that he lived on, and he winds up getting attacked by these dogs and killed by these dogs. In and of itself, that's a horrible incident. That's not the thing that made me so angry. That's awful. Okay, what if it had been a kid is what I keep thinking. And speaking as somebody who, I'll just tell you, full disclosure, we go bike riding all the time, and I hate to say this, but it's true. I'm fully prepared to kill a dog because I've had a dog bite me on my bike. I've had a dog where I thought I was worried about my life, and we've had dogs. People let their dogs roam free, and, you know, I didn't take it that seriously when we first started biking. I'll tell you what, I always carry a gun, and I carry a baseball bat. I don't want to have to kill somebody's dog, but I will do it if it's threatening my life or my wife's life. Because y'all that don't control your dogs are a danger to society, period. So that's the context. That's why I get angry about this, because I deal with it all the time. Because people think, well, I don't have to control my dog. Your dog is a danger. Most dogs are fine. Many dogs are not. So it's in that context that you hear this story.
So let's go over the negligence that led to this tragedy. Kathleen Taylor failed to properly secure her home or her kennels or any other enclosures designed to keep her dogs from roaming free. She failed to do so even though, and I'll go over a number of little things that we had in the report. She has had a long history of allowing her dogs to roam free with animal control, and still she had no action. She took no action. She's been fined several times by animal control for free roaming nuisance dogs, and still no action. The trailer and the kennels were not sufficient to secure her dogs and keep them from roaming, and still, no action. Multiple neighbors tell us of these dogs roaming and biting people on bikes, and they told her and advised her how dangerous these dogs were, but still, no action. We received word that an acquaintance notified her to tell her that she should have gotten rid of the dogs when they bit him, and still, no action.
Some of these dogs have bitten before. Some did not have bite reports. And this is the worst part. She won't leash them. She won't fix the whatever fencing or kenneling situation there is. She will not control them. And she's had dogs taken away from her, according to John Robinson with Escambia County Animal Rescue, the animal shelter. They've taken dogs away from her before, and she just goes and buys new dogs.
We've had multiple encounters with the owner of these animals. We have removed animals from her before, and a lot of times she's just replaced them with new animals. We have had multiple citations given to her.
And now she's been arrested for drugs unrelatedly. Like, they want to know where she was, and Chip says, oh, she's been arrested for drug use. This is a culpable negligence case, clearly. That is clearly a justifiable charge here, as the state attorney explained yesterday. Based on the facts as they present themselves at the moment, and if, you know, all the allegations turn out to be true. But I just tell you, I asked my wife this question. I'm the ethics teacher, right? I taught for 10 years, and I asked her last night. I said, okay, so here's the situation. This woman apparently, over the course of years, neglected to control her dogs, got told to control her dogs. Her dogs would bite and attack people. She got dogs taken away, and she replaced them with other dogs that she also did not care for appropriately. And this is a repeated pattern. and now the dog has killed somebody. Is that a death penalty charge? That's the question. Now, my wife said, no, I don't think it is. And I said, I think you're probably right. It's probably not. But what if it had been a kid? What if it had been three kids? I mean, this is extraordinarily bad. And I, you know, most of the time, in fact, I like that Chip said this yesterday. Most animal owners will, you know, the dog gets out, right? They're trying. This wasn't even trying. This was really extraordinary negligence, right? So that's, I'll just tell you, that's where my head was at on this case.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Hollywood writers on strike today. Contract talks break down. It's the first industry walkout in 15 years. 11,500 unionized screenwriters will hit the picket lines. That from the Writers Guild of America. President Biden calls the top four congressional leaders, inviting them to the White House to chat about the debt ceiling. The meeting set for a week from today. His move comes soon after his Treasury Chief Janet Yellen says the U.S. could default as soon as June 1st without a debt ceiling increase. House member Steve Scalise.
Democrats in the House and Senate finally starting to call on the President Biden to go negotiate with Speaker McCarthy.
And the Republican appearing on Fox's The Story. UK-based big bank HSBC says it made $1.5 billion from buying the British assets of Silicon Valley Bank. Some deposits were pulled immediately after the deal, but the situation is now stabilized. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio, 92.3, 56 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. The city of Milton hoping to be the high bidder of the old hospital building on Stewart Street near Milton High School. Economic Development Director Ed Spears says Lighthouse Christian Academy has been eyeing that facility as the potential home of Lighthouse Christian College and their athletic facilities.
We had them tour the facility, and they were very excited about the opportunity. We immediately began discussions on how to partner to make it the home of the new Lighthouse Christian College.
The 62,000 square foot facility has been vacant since 2021. Currently, it's owned by the state and was listed for sale March 23rd. Sealed bids of at least $550,000 are due by May 10th. They've agreed to an initial term sheet with Lighthouse. Could be transformed into a lease agreement if the city's bid is successful. Well, they met for about 2 hours yesterday. In the end, Escambia County School District did decide to move forward with an agreement with Charter Schools USA over the future of Warrington Middle School.
We've did anything but fail those students in Warrington Middle School. We've pumped a lot of money into Warrington Middle School. I believe before COVID, there were a few points, percentage points, away from being a C. So we were going in the right direction.
Board members David Williams and Paul Fetzko were the two no votes in the 3-2 decision. The board later voted 4-1 on a 30-year lease agreement for the building as well. With the agreement, the district will meet the state's mandated deadline of yesterday, although now they have to wait for Charter School USA to finalize the agreement. And if they don't, then the State Department of Education would decide the school's future. 24-year-old man has been arrested on sexual assault charges in Escambia County. Arrest records show Kyhavian Nettles was arrested this week. He faces sexual assault and battery charges. Records show Nettles allegedly choked and raped a woman on Sunday morning. He's being held on $152,500 bond. Governor Ron DeSantis signing three bills into law yesterday that are aimed at cracking down on certain kinds of criminals. One of the new laws allows for the death penalty for adults who rape a child under 12.
If they do that once, chances are they will do it again unless they're stopped, unless they're incapacitated.
The new law could already be in trouble, though, as federal law only allows the death penalty for murder, treason, and certain kidnappings. Another new law creates mandatory minimum sentences up to life in prison for fentanyl dealers who target children. The third law establishes consistent bond and bail amounts statewide. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Another beautiful day in store today. We'll have plenty of sunshine. Temperatures warming up near average, 82 degrees. Lows overnight dropping near 58. Another beautiful day as you go into Wednesday. Sunny skies, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Partly cloudy skies on Thursday, but no chance of rain with a high near 81. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 56, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, 55 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. In 1986, the Florida Bar limited personal injury contingency fees through trial to 40%. At that time, I thought that was too high. I've now practiced personal injury law in Northwest Florida for over 40 years, and I'm proud to say I've never charged a client 40%.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Good morning, 537, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and yesterday we had a chance to talk with our once-a-month catch-up with Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Hey, I have at least one thing I wanted to follow up with you on, because you and I had talked previously about this right-to-repair concept, the ability of farmers to work on their own equipment instead of having to wait for somebody from, you know, Equipment Central to come down and fix it for them, and the time that it takes to wait and all of that. And apparently Colorado has just become the first state in the nation to pass a right to repair law, which sort of seems to be in line with what you and that organization you were working in D.C. Wanted to accomplish. Is this good news? Is this a step? What's your take?
It's a step. I think that the Right to Repair Act is it's very complicated. It's not something that's easy. You know, the companies that make this equipment, they have all their proprietary stuff in there. And then, of course, farmers being who they are, they want to always be able to repair their own stuff to save time, to save money, all those issues. I think it's a complicated thing. I think that the Right to Repair bill is a good place to start. It's a good foundation to build on. I think there's going to be a lot of, all right, let's put this out there for a year. Let's look at it. Let's revisit. Is this working for both sides, for the farmers and for the companies that are building the equipment? You know, I think it's something that's just going to kind of be a work in progress. I think it's good to have everybody at the table talking this stuff over, working these issues out, and I think all in all, it's going to be a very positive thing for agriculture.
Well, it seemed like a good step. And as you say, I mean, you know, you try to fix these things. You see how it works. You tinker. You see how it works. I mean, you know, that's true in the machinery and in the farming and in the legislation, too. So let's hope that it works out for the better. What are y'all working on these days? You getting ready to plant peanuts today or tomorrow or this week at all?
You know, last time we spoke, I was hoping that we would already have several hundred acres planted by now of peanuts and cotton. But I know most people might not feel this way, but it's actually been a lot cooler than it typically is. The conditions just haven't been right. The soil temperature for peanuts, it needs to be 65 degrees or higher, 4 inches deep, for at least 3 days in a row at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know that's a lot of information, but for ideal planting conditions, that's what it needs to be. And we've just, you know, we'll get it for a day and not have it for two, or it'd come a rain or whatever. So now by the calendar, we're going to have to go ahead and start regardless of what it is, because, you know, when we plant these peanuts, we know pretty much how long it takes to grow them. Between 135 and 150 days after planting is when we'll dig them. So we have to look at what time that's going to put us in the fall digging, and still have time to harvest our cotton and soybeans as well. So we're kind of getting on the calendar schedule now. Now we're starting to feel that pressure. Hey, we've got to get it no matter what the conditions are. So this week there will be a whole lot of peanuts and probably cotton put in the ground, you know, planted for the year.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you my dumb, you know, city boy questions.
That's what I like.
Yeah, when you plant peanuts, I assume by machine, not by hand, but that you tell me. And then what exactly do you plant? Because, you know, there's that peanut in the shell. Do you plant just the seed portion? Like, what exactly do you plant?
Exactly. So, in the fall, the best peanuts in the area, will get saved. You know, they're graded. They know what kind of conditions they've been through. They treat them just a little bit gentler than they do the peanuts that are going for food, to preserve the germination, to preserve the integrity of the seed. So we'll keep those throughout the winter. In the springtime, they'll shell those peanuts. They'll put a seed treatment on the outside of the peanuts. So now the peanuts are out of the shell. The shell's been removed. The husks are still on there. They'll put some treatment on there to help with seedling diseases and things like that.
Wait, the husk is on, but the casing has been removed? That's hard to do.
Correct. Yeah, it is hard to do.
Okay, all right.
But it works out, and then, you know, you just take good care of those peanuts. They're very expensive. This is one of those things where technology has helped us, or, you know, people with good ideas have helped us move forward. You know, used to, peanut seed was in 50-pound bags. Well, in a day's time, you can easily plant 4 or 5 tons worth of peanut seed. So that's a whole lot of lifting 50-pound bags at the time and pouring it into the planter. Now we have what are called seed tenders that are on trailers that we pull along behind our trucks. And those trailers have big hoppers on them that can hold 6 tons or so of peanut seed. And it has a little conveyor coming out of the bottom with a spout on the end of it that dumps over into your peanut planter. It has a remote control and everything on it. So now, you know, used to you'd have to have a couple of people out there helping you plant peanuts, just strictly to help you load up with seed when you get to the end. Now it's you just wheel up there, put the seed tender over it, hit a remote control, and load your planters up, and you're off again. It's turned it, you know, from about a 3-man job into a 1-man job.
And is that all, like, I mean, you've got a planter that's doing this based on GPS and running the rows just like everything else?
That's correct. So our planters are extremely high precision in everything that we do now. You know, used to you would, another interesting fact is, you know, used to you might just say, I'm going to plant 150 pounds of seed per acre. Well, the seed sizes are different for the different varieties. So if you plant 150 pounds of one seed or one variety, and you change varieties and you're still trying to plant 150 pounds of the other seed, you might be planting a whole lot more or a whole lot fewer seed per acre. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the seed size.
Right, because weight is not the same as number of seeds. Right, okay.
Right. So what you really want is seed per foot. So we're planting twin rows, which means instead of just being one single row like on corn or cotton or something like that, we have what are called twin row planters that plant two rows about 8 inches apart. And then those rows are set 36 inches apart. But the two rows next together, you'll have a total of about three seed in each one of those little rows to make one row that has six seed per foot. So that equals out in math terms to about, we plant about 87,000 seed per acre. I know it's complicated.
No, that's good. It's fast. I'm trying to picture the whole thing. And actually, Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Okay, so what I'm stuck on is the double row planting concept, because to me, you know, like you plant cotton in a single row, you plant corn in a single row, you're planting a double row slightly separated from like a double seam on a dress or something, but it's then got 36 inches from that to the next row. I'm assuming a lot of times you do this stuff because like the design of the harvester or to maximize yield and some balance of all that together. What's the reason for that way of doing things?
The whole maximizing yield drives everything.
Okay. So
maximizing yield, being able to, instead of planting six seed per foot, you know, that'd be one every 2 inches, right, in one row.
Yep.
You're able to spread it out over a little bit wider surface area, so the roots have a little bit more space to work in. The plants aren't so confined there. It helps cover the ground a lot faster in those twin rows, which means less weed pressure, less losing moisture to the environment. I mean, there are all kind of reasons that the twin row and the peanut just... And when I started farming, there were no twin row peanuts. When I started farming, it was all single row. This is something that's come along just since I've been farming, and it's really, really made a difference in yield and the way we're able to care for our crops.
Interesting. So that's all in the category of like how things change and improve. And like you said, I wouldn't have thought of any of that stuff in terms of the coverage or the retaining of moisture or all things that matter once you explain them. But things I wouldn't have, as I said, I didn't think of those as the explanation. We always like to end, Ryan, with a farm fact. You got a farm fact for us this week?
I do. Since we're talking about peanuts and peanut butter are naturally cholesterol free. And of course, for the GMO people out there, they're non-GMO as well. So they're a heart-healthy snack, a heart-healthy food. Eat them up. Y'all eat more peanuts, please. My family's depending on it.
I love it.
I'm doing my part every day, brother. Every day I grab my dry-roasted peanuts. I eat a couple. I think I'm helping Ryan. I'm doing my part. Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farm.
One other thing.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to get a J traffic report. Everything's flowing smoothly.
That was good.
Well, everything's flowing smoothly unless you got a spreader or a picker or.
That's right. Unless you get behind me, and it's flowing smoothly for me, but it might not be for you.
It's flowing smoothly, but not necessarily rapidly.
Smooth like peanut butter.
There you go.
Ryan Jenkins, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Y'all have a great week.
Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3. You know, it's fine. I get so many people say they appreciate the segment we do with Ryan. And, of course, all last year we did it every single week. And, you know, I think part of what makes it fun is not just learning about the farm stuff, which is great. I love Ryan.
Ryan. Yeah.
He's such a refreshing,
y'all,
you know.
Eat more peanuts.
Well, you know, look, the prices are bad and the inputs are difficult and the locusts are coming for us and, you know, we're just not getting the yields we're looking for. But, you know, I wouldn't do anything else in the world but farm. I love him. I love him so much. Five. And look, you wear clothes and eat food because he does his job. I mean, that's the truth of it. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
We are the Gulf Coast's premier local digital marketing partner. Did you know every campaign we create is done right here from our radio studio office, right here in Pensacola?
Locally customized, locally designed, locally planned, locally executed, and locally optimized for your success by our team of media marketing professionals that really know Northwest Florida and South Alabama. Our team makes sure your campaign contains the most attention-getting display and video elements and the most advanced targeting to make sure your marketing budget is used in the most effective way possible. We are ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners, your team of trusted media professionals under the same roof of the radio names you know and love, like Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. Begin your partnership with ADX Digital today by emailing connect at adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at @PColaParks. It's time to get out and play.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. This Saturday, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wait, you get looking. You're hot.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
All the waiters in your grand cafe leave their tables when you blink. Oh,
you can usually tell what movies that I watch on the weekend by what clips I play on Mondays and Tuesdays. So let's see, I watched Avatar, or I started watching Avatar.
I heard that.
That's an 8-week project watching Avatar.
The new one?
No, the old one, because okay, I want to watch the old one again before I get ready to watch the new one.
We're doing the same thing. Yeah, we have it on our list.
But it is, what, 3.5 hours long, I think, the original Avatar?
So long.
It's so long. It's so good, but it's so long. And then Face Off, classic John Woo.
Right.
Honestly, you know, this is annoying to me. I love John Woo films, and Face Off is a great film. The funny thing is, I now know so much about like law enforcement and also guns compared to when I was a kid. I don't enjoy the movie.
Oh, it's like watching The Net with Sandra Bullock.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I know. It's like
well, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. Oh,
and you become that guy.
Oh, they missed again.
Oh,
no,
that's
again.
Uh-uh.
Oh,
No. Whenever you watch any movie about radio, every person that works in radio does that too.
Exactly.
You know?
And I
how
know
are they not using headphones?
And I know that's true of like all of these things. You know, movies about hospitals. Movies about teaching.
Of course,
every time
yeah.
I watch even a scene in a and by the way, okay, this is so off anything topical, but it's fine. It's worth saying. You know, I used to teach for 10 years at the college level, okay? So I'll watch these, like, scenes about classrooms, and, you know, it's the 90-second presentation on something, and then a student asks a question, and their life is transformed or whatever, and then the bell rings, and it's all over. And it's just like, it's so absurd. The whole setup is absurd. The timing of it is wrong. The way this all happens in a real school, whether it's a high school or a college, it's always crazy. And yet, this is how it does. Because I'm just convinced that basically the people who write movies and TV shows have never had any other job ever. Because
you're
that's
right,
the only
yeah.
way you can get every job wrong. they get every job wrong. It's amazing. So anyway, in this, you know, in... In Face Off, this again, classic movie. There's one scene, and look, I'm sorry for wasting your time with this, but just I had to say it. Here there's this one scene where he gets out of the car at the airport, and like his coat flaps up in the wind over the car like a bat wing. It's like the most perfectly choreographed 2 second long scene ever. And I loved that part. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Texas Governor Greg Abbott walking back some claims that all five people killed in that shooting last Friday were illegal immigrants. His office released a statement yesterday saying that they've learned one of them may have been in the United States legally. They also say they regret that the information detracted from the goal of finding the suspect. A federal judge has denied former President Trump's request for a mistrial in his civil battery and defamation case. Cross-examination of writer E. Jean Carroll resumes in New York today. President Biden marking the end of Ramadan. He hosted a reception at the White House yesterday to celebrate Eid al-Fitr and pledged his administration's support for the Muslim community. With Vice President Harris also there, he said there's more Muslim Americans serving in Congress now than ever in American history.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, my God. Did you see what happened? And it's kind of a weird expression to use for it, but did you see what happened in Illinois, in central Illinois yesterday? On I-55, which is a major artery that runs from St. Louis all the way up to Chicago. I mean, this is the road that everybody drives on. There's a couple of them, you know, I-80, I-55, right. I-57. And this is, you know, like a hugely important stretch of road. Well, right in the middle of it, right around Farmersville, which is just outside of Springfield, Illinois, they had...
Officials say the dust blew over.
There was a huge dust storm that caused a massive pileup of cars because of the, like, basically the gray-out, brown-out kind of conditions.
A highway in rural Illinois turned to chaos Monday morning after a massive dust storm swept over the region. It happened on Interstate 55 north of Farmersville. It blinded drivers and caused more than 70 cars to crash. At least six people have died, and at least three dozen were transported to hospitals. Injuries range from minor to life-threatening, and the victims' ages span from 2 to 80 years old.
And it's just wreckage everywhere for miles. Like, it was crazy, because they couldn't see. They were all run into each other, including semis, and you heard people died in this. And then when the kind of the rescue crews get on the scene, you still can't see. So the pictures have this creepy, like, halfway you can see what's going on, But it looks like a war zone. This road's still closed, as far as I know, as of this morning. So, and that is it. I mean, it's an incredibly important artery. It'd be like, closing I-10 for half a day or a day. It's unbelievable. And, you know, so sad to hear all those people wind up dying because, you know, what happens in that kind of situation is you don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, you're just driving. All of a sudden, you can't see it all. And what you're supposed to do is everybody's supposed to keep driving. That's what's supposed to happen. Because if one person stops, this is what happens. But you don't feel like you can safely continue driving because you can't see what's in front of you and you're trusting the people in front of you to keep on driving, right? I mean, it's terrifying. And if it's a miles-long thing, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. Hey, if you are 64, turning 65, and you're getting ready to do the conversion over to Medicare, it can be the kind of thing that makes you a little apprehensive because it's new, it's different, you know, you've never done it before. But look, and you might have questions, you know, like what supplement, what's Advantage, what is Medicare, what is Medicaid, does it apply to me, what about prescription drugs and all of that. Listen, this is not a hard thing to do, it's not complicated, and it shouldn't be stressful, but it can feel that way, especially if people are calling you and writing to you and trying to convince you to, okay, I've got a good friend I've known her as long as we've lived here, Ricky Stewart, her whole family does insurance, this is the one slice that she does, and she does it really well. I've talked to so many of our listeners who have used her, because she's just, I mean, really, really good people. Just give her a call, she'll answer your questions. She'll take care of you, no problem. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. Let's see, 558, News Radio 92.3. What is this? So how do you say, so now do you say I want to turn this film off? Because I want to take the face off. We have equally nerdy nerds in the audience that listen to these
things. That's so funny.
As much as I do. Oh, man. Oh, and somebody texts and says they love the farmer segment because, you know, that's like one of their favorites. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Skate park opens today. My prediction, this is maybe a future news, but we kind of did it yesterday. I think today is going to be the worst day to go skateboard at the skate park because everybody's going to be there. Like, I think my prediction is maybe 1,000 people. I just think it's going to be huge.
I know,
go.
But there'll be like some of our local movers and shakers, and you can watch them bust their butt.
Right.
Not that
and
I want
I'm
to.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to take my skateboard, and I'm just thinking to myself, probably don't assume I'm going to actually get to skate today. Just because I think it's going to be so crowded, which is fine. That's good. That shows how badly people want this and how eager we are to have this skate park here in Pensacola. You know, because there's a really nice little skate park in Milton. There's a good little skate park in Gulf Breeze. And, you know, there's skate parks all around. But not only is this bigger, it has got an unbelievable variety of opportunities. It's got an amphitheater built in. It's got a kiddie zone. Not kiddie, but like a learner's area. Like a bunny slope. Yeah, no, it's really, I'm excited. 3 o'clock today.
Your home for Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 is News Radio 92.3.